Many of you have been to Walmart and have seen Miss Irene diligently working there and been encouraged by that. And that's a light there in the Española Walmart. I remember I was just thinking we were by Walmart and saw Miss Irene working this week. And I was thinking back, that's where I first met your dad. Brother Larry, and Brother Larry was there working at Walmart. He was a greeter, and I got to know him, and then he ends up coming to church, and then Irene ends up coming to church, and you're still working for Walmart. And I'm not advertising for Walmart tonight, Well, let's go to the book of Mark, chapter 14, Mark chapter 14, and I want to start something here tonight, and don't know how long we'll do this, but I'm going to just look at a passage of Scripture here tonight just to get this kicked off. But I want to deal in the Bible with broken things, and what you'll find is really the power of brokenness. And you'll find many times when things and people were broken, it put them into a position where God could do something special. Sometimes it's not until we come to the end of ourselves that God can really take over and do what he wants to do. Sometimes it's at the bottom of the barrel that we really look up unto the Lord. And I can't tell you the number of times I've talked with somebody and they went through prison. And their testimony was this, that I never would have been saved had it not been for prison. I've talked to others that have come out of addictions, and they said, I never would have come to Christ had it not been for a bondage of alcohol or drugs. And it was that bondage that showed me I could not do it, that I couldn't get victory, and that I needed a Savior. And I've talked with people that they were in that bondage. They'd made professions of faith, but they realized they really didn't know the Lord, and they didn't have the power to get through the bondage until they truly came to a born-again relationship with Jesus Christ. And so sometimes it's at the bottom that we're finally able to look up and see the need for the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to begin here Wednesday night dealing with some broken things, and we're going to start here tonight with something that was broken. And if you look with me, Mark chapter 14, would you stand with me as we read a portion of God's word here tonight? Mark chapter 14, and it begins, after 2 days was the feast of the Passover, and of unleavened bread, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him by craft and put him to death. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar of the people. And being in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. And notice the statement, she broke the box. We're looking at broken things. She broke the box and poured it on his head. And there were some that had indignation within themselves. And they said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. But me ye have not always. She hath done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of for a memorial of her. And Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went unto the chief priests to betray him unto them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money. And he sought how he might conveniently betray him. And the first day of unleavened bread, the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou go? And we prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover. And you could read on through this as they ate the Passover. He said, this is my body, which is broken for you. And so we're looking at broken things here tonight. And beginning just, I want to do a series as we just look through the Bible, things that were broken or people that were broken. And often that became the timing or the way in which God worked and did something very special. I want you to join me. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this evening. And would you pray in your heart and just ask God for his way in this service tonight. Father, we thank you for your goodness unto us tonight. And again, this privilege of being here in this place tonight. And Lord, I thank you that you are able to use broken things. It's very clear in the Bible that you do not use dirty vessels, but you'll use broken vessels. And Lord, I pray here tonight that as we open your word, that Lord, you would just do an eternal work, do something special in our lives. Lord, I don't know the heart of anybody here, but I know, no doubt, in a group this size tonight, I'm dealing with somebody that they're broken. There's a broken heart. There's a broken dream. There's a broken life. And Lord, I pray that you might use this tonight to minister at the point of need. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. And you may be seated here tonight. And again, the statement in verse number 3, and she break the box and pour it on his head. In the Bible, there is a power in brokenness. When something or someone is broken for Christ, it becomes a very precious, precious thing. I was thinking of an illustration here that we have Judas, and Judas betrayed the Lord. We have also Peter, and it's evident that Peter, he denied the Lord, and both terribly wrong, horrible in it, but there was a difference in the way they came and approached their sin. And I believe Peter came with brokenness. Peter wept bitterly. And he was a broken vessel, and it was that brokenness that God then was able to do something special through Peter, and he became the preacher on the day of Pentecost. There's a precious thing about brokenness. Now, in this particular case, we read about this woman. We know this, according to the Gospel of John, to be Mary, the sister of Martha, the sister of Lazarus, and she broke an expensive alabaster box of perfume, of ointment. And the Bible says she poured it upon the head of Jesus. Now, other scriptures add some details. If you would go to the Gospel of John for just a moment, chapter 12. It's in Matthew chapter 26. We have a parallel passage in verses 1 through 16. And it adds that this was very precious ointment, very valuable. Could have been sold for much. The Gospel of Mark says for 300 pence. A pence was about a day's wages. So we know that this was a very expensive ointment. If you can imagine working 300 days in order to buy this particular perfume, this was the worth, the value of this particular gift that was given to Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, chapter 12, we have the same story, the same instance. Add some other details in verses 1 through 9. I want you to see the setting. It was a supper made in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ after he raised Lazarus from the dead. Look at verse number 1. And it reads, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So Martha was serving at this particular meal. You'll find often in the Bible, when you find Martha, she's a servant, and she's doing the behind-the-scenes type things. I believe she's doing it out of a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, has a servant's heart. But here it's Mary. If you look in verse number 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Now the Bible tells us in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Matthew that she poured it upon the head of Jesus, and here the Bible says she anointed the feet of Jesus and she wiped his feet with her hair. She's the one who is at the foot of Jesus quite often worshiping the Lord. Here's Martha, she's the servant. Here's Mary that is the worshiper at the foot of Jesus. I believe both love the Lord very dearly. Now, John reveals that it was Judas Iscariot that first murmured. The other Gospels doesn't tell us exactly who it was, but look in verse number 4. It says, then saith one of the disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was put therein. I was thinking about this just in reading through this. It's evident that really Judas did not really care for the poor. In fact, you can't trace anything in his life that he ever did for the poor. And Mary, in this instance, did more for the poor in the offering of her ointment than Judas ever did with his life. And let me just point out that when you do something for Jesus, there's always going to be somebody who's going to question what you do. There's always going to be somebody that's going to say, that was waste. So why did you do that? You're wasting your time going to church every Wednesday night. You guys are a bunch of crazy people here coming, giving your Wednesday nights to come to church. And you're going to be questioned about that, what you do for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as in all of the Gospels, Jesus came to her defense. If you would look in verse number 7, then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. And again in verse number 9, much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. So the setting of this particular event is soon before Jesus is going to be betrayed. It's soon before the cross, but it's after the resurrection of Lazarus, and it's the special meal that is being prepared there in Bethany. Now, I want to consider the issue, if you go back with me tonight to Mark chapter 14, I want to consider this issue of brokenness. It's the Gospel of Mark that points out to us that this alabaster box of ointment was broken, and it was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to consider, first of all, here tonight, this element of brokenness. You see, the Bible often pictures brokenness as a precious thing. And this was a precious thing that was given to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to just, again, keep your place here in Mark chapter 14. But I want to go back to just a couple of scriptures. And we're, over, Lord willing, over the next weeks, just going to look at this issue of brokenness. But I'd like you to go with me for a moment to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah for just a brief moment. And if you go with me to chapter number 1. Nehemiah chapter 1. And I believe here in the life of Nehemiah, he has received news of bad news concerning Jerusalem. And it's evident in this passage of Scripture that he's broken. In verse number 1, or let's start at verse 3. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And it came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. And it's evident here that the walls are broken down in Jerusalem. And before those walls could be built, there was the brokenness. And now there's the brokenness of Nehemiah as he's mourned, as he's fasting, as he's praying to the God of heaven. And as he prays, he says in verse 5, I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great, terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy of them that love him, observe his commandments. And we know the story that God heard the prayer. He says in verse number 11, O Lord, I beseech thee, let now thine ear be attentive to the prayer of thy servant, to the prayer of thy servants who desire to fear thy name and prosper. I pray thee, the servant this day, grant him mercy in the sight of this man, for I was the king's cupbearer. And we'll find here, out of this brokenness of Nehemiah, God uses him and sends him to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Another example of brokenness in the Bible, and this element of brokenness, the life of King David. Turn to Psalm 51. You know the background. David has been convicted of sin by Nathan the prophet has come and said, David, thou art the man. And you'll read here of the brokenness of David. In verse 1, have mercy upon me as he's under conviction. O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression. My sin is ever before me. And here David is pouring his heart out before God. He says in verse number 8, make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. And God breaks people, and this conviction of sin, David, is broken. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit in me, within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and hold me with thy free spirit. I want you to skip to verse number 17, and he says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Here again, the power of brokenness. Now, I want you to go to the book of Isaiah chapter 57, Isaiah chapter 57, and verse number 15. Here's a verse that's worthy of memorizing in your heart. Isaiah 57, verse number 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, God says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And again, this humility and this contrition that he speaks of is the spirit of brokenness that God blesses. Now, we go back to Mark chapter 14, and we see here the beauty of brokenness. Now, in the context, Jesus would soon be broken at the cross. The Bible tells us in verse number 1 that the chief priests now are seeking that they might take him by craft. And after the issue of this alabaster box, we read of Judas Iscariot that goes to the chief priests and he betrays the Lord Jesus Christ. He's soon going to pour out his life. He's going to be sacrificed. He's going to willingly give his life. And there's been a lot of controversy. Who killed Jesus? Was it the Jews? And let me just say, no, it was Jesus. He laid down his life. And the Jews were involved. The Romans were involved. My sin took Jesus to the cross. Your sin took Jesus to the cross. But he laid down his life. He would willingly give himself. His body would be the picture here of the alabaster box that would be broken. And that precious ointment of his blood would soon be poured out. And Mary, as she breaks the box, is giving that picture of that broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ and that precious ointment that is poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. It seems Mary, who desired to be at his feet or at the feet of Jesus, understood, I think, more so than any of the disciples what was about to happen. It's evident here in Mark chapter 14, verse number 6, that she did this for Jesus. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work. And I want you to see this, she says, or he says, on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good. But me, ye have not always. She did this for Jesus. And again, by the way, Judas was not concerned for the poor. Never a record of him helping the poor. She did more for the poor in this one act than Judas ever did. Now look in Mark chapter 14, verse number 8. She had done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for the burying. See, you'll notice that Mary later, when the women came to the tomb, she was not with those women that went to the tomb to anoint the body of Jesus. She had already done her duty. And it seems evident that somehow she knew what was about to take place. They missed their opportunity, but Mary came to anoint Jesus aforehand. Now there's this element of brokenness, and it's evident in the Bible that God uses broken people, broken vessels, broken dreams, broken lives laid at his feet, and they can be precious. You know the story of Humpty Dumpty that sat on the wall, and Humpty Dumpty took a great fall, and all the king's horses, all the king's men, they couldn't put Humpty together again. But Jesus can, and he can take the broken things and the broken lives and the broken vessels. I've said it many times, Jesus will not use a dirty vessel, but he'll use a marred vessel, a scarred vessel, a broken vessel that is poured out for him tonight. Here's this element of brokenness. Now, I want to take this broken vessel that Mary has given, this alabaster box, and relate some expressions of brokenness that are revealed through her life. That broken alabaster box and the anointment had great meaning. I believe this is an expression of gratefulness. Now, the context of John chapter 12 is this meal is prepared for Jesus after the resurrection of Lazarus. Now, you know the story of John chapter 11. Lazarus was sick. He died. Jesus came. Lazarus has been dead 4 days. They took Jesus to the grave, to the tomb of Lazarus. There the Bible says that Jesus wept. He felt for them. He grieved for them, for their loss. And then you know the story. He spoke simply the words, Lazarus, come forth. And out of that tomb came Lazarus. And here is this dear brother, loved by Mary, loved by Martha. He's been brought back to life again by the power of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. He simply spoke the words. And here Mary is so very grateful to her Savior, her Lord, what he's done on her behalf. The Bible says in John 12, verse 3, then took Mary a pound of ointment, and it speaks of the death of Lazarus and that he's now alive. And the spikenard, very costly, anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. It appears that Mary was so very thankful for what Jesus has done for her and for her family, that this was a precious gift that she's bringing to her Savior. Now, I believe Martha loved the Lord, and her means of thanking the Lord is her service unto the Lord. In serving, preparing this meal for Jesus, she's expressing gratefulness. Now, tonight, every one of us have something for which to be grateful for. If you're saved tonight, the Lord has raised you from the dead. You were doomed and on the road to hell. You deserve hell, but Jesus has raised you. And friend, if that doesn't make you grateful, you got problems. If you think about this, you're saved. You will never have to go to hell. He's brought you to life again. You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the earth, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh. But see, Jesus raised you to life again. We must come with gratefulness. And in coming with gratefulness, I believe taking our life, alabaster box, and breaking it open for the Lord Jesus Christ and giving it all to Jesus. You see, we ought to serve him wholeheartedly and pour out our lives to him wholeheartedly. It was an expression of gratefulness. I think it was an expression of great love. It's so evident. I think Martha loved Jesus and she served. But I believe that Mary loved Jesus. I think she had just a special walk with Jesus. That's so clear. So evident in the Bible. For her, nothing was too costly or precious for him. I think she would take the very best that she had and give it to the Lord Jesus Christ. Others would look upon that and say, what waste? But she broke it open for him, poured out the ointment so that it filled all the house with that smell. Poured it out to express her love for Jesus Christ. It's a beautiful picture of a life completely broken, poured out, and spent for him. All out of deep love for Jesus. I was thinking of William Borden. He was the heir to a vast fortune. He gave his fortune to Christ and surrendered his life to China. He was aboard the boat to make his way to China, never made it, became ill, and died. So many people said, what a waste. Here's a young man that had so much going for him, so much talent, so much wealth at his disposal. And yet he gave it all away to go to China and then died. But what people did not realize, it was that broken life and his death that would lead to a multitude surrendering to the mission field. And God would take that broken life, that seed, we might say, that wheat that was thrown into the ground and died, and that wheat would spring up and it would produce multitudes of grains. The blessing, the expression of love. This was also for Mary an expression of great humility. Mary came humbly to the feet of Jesus. He wiped the feet. Now the Bible says in two of the Gospels, she poured the ointment over his head. But in the Gospel of John, it says that she wiped his feet with the ointment with her hair. Poured out her life to Jesus Christ. We read just a moment ago, for thus saith the high and holy one, or lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That was Mary. Mark 14 and verse 3. Reads, and being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She broke the box, poured it on his head. What an expression of humility, humbling herself before the Lord. You know, often God will allow us to be broken. I find that so many times God will allow things in your life to show you that you're nothing, to show you that you're but a worm, but he is the high and lofty one. Sometimes allowing things in your life to show you that you can't, and it's only when you come to the end of yourself and you turn to him that you can. And I believe that's pictured in this humility of a woman that comes brokenly, and she illustrates this with the broken spikenard box or the alabaster box, and gives this to the Lord Jesus Christ, a testimony of humility, worshiping the high and lofty one, learning of him. That was also an expression of surrender and service. She broke the box, poured out the ointment. I believe a picture of the surrender of her life. It's as if she's saying to the Lord, "Lord, this is the best I have to give, but I give my life to you." It's kind of like the little boy as the offering plate was being passed, and he's thinking, "What can I give him? I don't have anything." And he sets the offering plate up on the floor, and he steps into the plate, and he says, "I don't have anything to give, but I can give me." I think that's the picture of what Mary is giving to the Lord. "I'm giving myself for love of you, Jesus, broken and spilled out." You know, maybe that'd be our lives. Wholly poured out for Jesus. Wholly surrendered to Jesus. Wholly yielded to him. You notice here that Jesus pointed out, "She hath wrought a good work on me." See, what she did was not for the attention of the world. It was not for the approval of the world. The world didn't approve of what she did. The disciples didn't understand what she did. Those in the room didn't understand what she did. Jesus understood it. "She wrought this on me. She did this for me." And that's what our giving ought to be. That's what our service ought to be. It ought to be out of an all-out surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we've talked a lot about Faith Promise and our missions conference. And I believe really it ought to start with they first gave themselves unto the Lord. And we ought to be willing to come in full surrender unto the Lord. But I believe when we come in full surrender to the Lord, we'll be like Mary, and we'll want to give the Lord that which is most profitable to us, or that which means much to us. And that's what Faith Promise would be all about. And some have thought, "What a waste. Why would you give that money to go to the mission field? And what a waste." Well, are you doing it on Jesus and for Jesus and out of a love for Jesus? And that ought to be the heart of our giving. That which is poured out for Jesus and on Jesus is never a waste. Now, we've already alluded to this, but I believe this alabaster box that is broken and this ointment that is shared with Jesus or on Jesus was an expression of faith. In chapter 14, verse number 1, Jesus, it speaks of his death, that they're seeking to put him to death. We made mention that Judas, after this incident, would take and betray the Lord, and for 30 pieces of silver, he would betray the Savior. In verse number 7, Mark 14, Jesus said, "For you have the poor with you always, and whensoever you will, you may do them good." But notice this, he says, "Me, you have not always." She had done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. I think Mary grasped this truth of his death and his resurrection in the way that the other disciples did not. You know, Jesus spoke often of his death and often of his resurrection. He said that he was going up to Jerusalem, that he would be betrayed into the hands of sinful men. He would be condemned. He would die. He would go to the cross. And 3 days later, he would rise again. It seems to me that Mary, of all people, grasped that truth. And so ahead of time, she's come to anoint Jesus for his burial. But in this, it's almost as if this is a step of faith, because she's doing it ahead of time. We mentioned the other women that came to the tomb. They were too late, because up from the grave he had risen. And Mary has done that job ahead of time. And so this seems to be a testimony of her great faith. 300 days wages wasn't too much for the Lord Jesus Christ. He had given to her and for her far more than she had ever given to him. So this is the expression of brokenness. As we come with our lives, that ought to be our expression, our thoughts. Now, the endurance of brokenness. What she did was honored and recognized by the Lord. Again, look at Mark 14, verse 6. And Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She hath wrought a good work on me, And then in verse number 9, verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she had done shall be spoken of for her, a memorial of her. Isn't that amazing? Her story is recorded in 3 gospels. We just read it. And wherever this gospel has been preached, the story of this woman, of Mary, and the broken alabaster box and the ointment given for Jesus, the story would be told. And what a challenge. It's recorded and she's remembered to this day. Now, to her, this may not have seemed like a big deal. This was a small token of her gratefulness, a small token of her love and her humility and her surrender unto the Lord, a small token of her faith in the Lord. And I don't think she was looking at this as, this is such a sacrifice on my part. For her, it was nothing, because Jesus had given so much more to her. She had her brother alive from the dead. She had the gift of salvation and a personal relationship with Jesus. She had a peace in her life that she never knew before Jesus came into her life. So that 300 pence of ointment was nothing for her, may have seemed so small compared to what Jesus had done. But you know, for Jesus and for others, this was a big deal. And thinking about this thought, little is much if God is in it. You know, no sacrifice is too great for him, and no sacrifice is too little for him. I want you to take your Bibles for just a moment back to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Remember, this woman wrought this on Jesus. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 31. And it reads, when the Son of Man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne, or upon the throne of his glory. And before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came to thee? Notice this statement. The king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And the Lord would call attention to what they had done. Never know what that alabaster box, that broken box, that ointment poured out for the Lord Jesus Christ may do. You never know what your life surrendered to Jesus may accomplish. A little sacrifice, a little bit given for the Lord, a little faith promise poured out for him, an eternal impact upon the lives of others. You never know what that letter, that message, that card, that call, that gift may have accomplished if it's done in the name of Jesus and directed. Never know what change of life may be accomplished. I was just thinking back to times that I have been blessed and people didn't even realize it. And I know that they did this in the name of Jesus and they did this on behalf of Jesus, but it became such a blessing to me. I was thinking back to a time when I was deeply discouraged and a pastor of mine preached a message and I did not know or understand at that time what he was going through. He was a broken vessel. And he was going through some things that I had no idea about, some things that later came out, and I did not know that, but God used that time of brokenness, and he preached a message that to this day has encouraged me so many times. I've never forgotten that particular message and the spirit with which he had given it, and it was so evident. He was a broken vessel, and the ointment was poured out, and the Lord Jesus used that in my heart and my life. I remember a time that I was discouraged and quite honestly thought I'd failed, and I had. I failed so often. And you ever say things you wish you had never said? And you think, why did I say that? And why did I do that? And I remember a time discouraged at my own failure, and somebody, not even knowing the situation, sent me a little text message. And I know they did that in the name of Jesus, and they don't know how greatly that lifted me up at that particular time. It was another time that I received from somebody, not even from this area, but somebody had helped many years before. And just kind of anonymously, there was a card in the mail, and with that card, a very sacrificial gift, and the individual had no idea the need and the very particular need that it met at that time. It was a broken alabaster box that was poured out for the Lord Jesus Christ, but God used that in my life. I was thinking back to this building, and we were just getting started, and you know how it is. The money goes further than the building materials go. And I thought we had saved up enough to get started, but soon became very clear, no, there's not enough here. And I go out to the mailbox, and there is a check for $10,000 here to Valley Bible Baptist Church from Bella Vista Baptist and Brother Gilman in Albuquerque. And the timing was so very perfect. And it was an alabaster box that was broken and spilled out and given on our behalf. And what an encouragement it was. And then as we're going through the building and preparing, and I'm looking at what we need to do to put the heaters in. And we don't have enough to get the heaters and air conditioners put in. I figured out we need $25,000 for this. And I hadn't shared this with anybody, but went to a preacher's meeting. And there at the preacher's meeting, I was presented a check for $25,000. And so God used those broken vessels, just poured out and spilled out. And what an encouragement. I know it was done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. A little bit may seem like not much, but for the Lord, he takes that and he recognizes that and he uses that. This element of brokenness, it's a powerful thing. Expression of brokenness and gratefulness and really in humility and love and surrender of heart and faith. That was the heart of this woman. And that endurance of brokenness, it has an eternal impact in the lives of others. And it's an eternal recognition of the Lord and the reward that he gave to this woman. He does that with your broken life given to Jesus. With that, let's bow our heads.